Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Take me through the interception in overtime.
Yeah, I mean, it was just one of those deals where, you know, you get these plays like this all the time in practice and you make the plays and, you know, you're itching to get one in the game, just a basic cover three and, you know, tight splits and kind of knew. It's just being around trying to communicate with my corners that, hey, if I get this, you know, this over route, you know, I'm going to come out the post and drive on it. And I was able to make a big play for the team. Kind of surprised he threw it, but, you know, that's the way these things happen.
When did you have that light bulb go off in your head that it's coming your way and you got a chance to get it?
I mean, we had one early in the game, but it was obviously it was to the other safety. And he drove down on it. He actually threw it deep that time. But like I said, it was just one of those games in overtime, man. You know, big players just got to make big plays in big games. So, like I said, just happy to make a play for my defense.
You know, it's Halloween. You guys are 6-2 now. You got a 3-game lead over the Colts, and you hold the tiebreaker. They got to make up 4 games in 9. You're basically the division champions. How do you keep from feeling that? How do you ignore the fact that you've essentially got the division sewn up and keep going about your business?
Just great leadership from the coaches and the players. We talked about our message this week, actually, after beating the Bills, beating the Chiefs, but don't take the cheese. Everybody's going to tell us how great we are and all those type of things. Just keep playing, keep stacking wins. And as you win in this league, you continue to win. The games get bigger and bigger. So we're not getting caught up in winning division in week 8 or whatever it is.
Derrick Henry had something going on during Sunday's game against the Colts. Shoe was off, checking out the foot. We were paying attention to it as we monitor all of the games. What's up with Derrick Henry? Let's keep an eye on Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry ended up back in the game. So we assumed everything was fine. There was no chatter after the game about Derrick Henry being injured. No issues, no discussion, no conversation. Then out of the blue, Monday morning comes the news that he needs surgery, Chris, and may be out for the year. And this is a guy who's had a lot of wear and tear, college level and pro level. He had 46 carries in a game once at Alabama. Now, early in his career, he was kind of second fiddle to DeMarco Murray in Tennessee, so he didn't get a ton of touches. But yeah, in recent years, he's gotten more and more and more. And, you know, usually it happens with a hit, but sometimes a tire blows out. And it's unfortunate because this guy was having an MVP season. Great player, great guy, fun to watch. Impactful player, and now he's going to be out, and who knows for how long.
I mean, unfortunate is right. I mean, yeah, it stinks. We're talking, in an era where running backs, you know, I don't know, might not get in the Hall of Fame that easily. This is one guy where you look at, and he's going to go, he's a running back, and he's getting in the Hall of Fame easily. I already know that. I don't need to see much more of his career. He's definitely going there. I mean, for my money, Derrick Henry has already reached the stratosphere of, like, you know, the top running backs in the history of football conversation. I mean, come on, we're talking about a guy where we go, well, you know, when there's no hole, he can still mash it up in there and get 4 yards. And when there is a hole, He can take it 85 yards to the house and outrun everybody on the field. Like, that skill set is, like, unheard of, like, since Jim Brown. I mean, quite honestly, like, to be able to be the bell cow and be the most explosive guy on the field is a combination we've never seen in football. And that's where he's special. He's special to their football team. Yeah, you said it. They ride him hard. And, you know, the Titans were rounding into a team in the AFC where we can go, and I know we've talked about this a little the last 2 weeks, where you can go through the AFC and go, of all the top teams, I got questions about every one of them in the AFC. And I know we've had this conversation with the NFC. There's less questions with the top teams. Tennessee was starting to look like that team where you went, I don't know. I don't know if I have a lot of questions. Things seem to be trending in the right direction on both sides of the ball. You know, we're getting close, I think, and I think we can echo even like Tony Dungy to where you're starting to like some of the conversations on Sunday where, I mean, maybe Tennessee is the best team in the AFC, the most well-rounded team in football, but not with Derrick Henry. You know, so I was sitting there at the point going, man, Tennessee's Super Bowl contender, Super Bowl team. That's what they're starting to look like. But no Derrick Henry, I mean, I don't think that. It totally changes my thought of their football team completely.
And I think at some point in the run-up to this season, I said, in the many hours that we talk about football when it's not football season, and it's just the law of averages eventually between Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry. Somebody's getting hurt. It's not going to be healthy wire to wire. And for a team like that that is so heavily reliant on Derrick Henry, I saw you had on Twitter the question of who's the most irreplaceable non-quarterback in the NFL, and Derrick Henry won in a landslide. Now, of course, there's recency bias because he's injured.
Sure, but I think it's
guys,
fair.
The other guys, Aaron Donald, Miles Garrett, you've got 10 other guys who play defense. You've got multiple other guys who do the same things that Miles Garrett and Aaron Donald do, even though they don't do it as well. You got one lead running back on your team, and you take Derrick Henry off of the Titans. What do you do next? How do you even begin to replace the impact he has as a runner, as a pass catcher, and as a natural decoy?
That's
not
what
that
it
he is.
Is
a decoy. Right. He's just a magnet for attention. We had the highlight package after the win over the Chiefs, the Derrick Henry effect. And you pointed out, they all go where Henry goes. They all go where Henry goes.
Yeah.
Now you don't have that guy that acts like a magnet for attention. Jeremy McNichols, no. Adrian Peterson, much as I love him, no. Not at 36.
Right.
I mean, it's amazing that he's the guy who got the call. When you have Todd Gurley out there, when you have other younger guys floating around, there's running backs everywhere. I'm impressed that they're giving Adrian Peterson a chance because he's still got it to a certain extent. It's not going to be Derrick Henry.
No.
It's not going to be close to Derrick Henry.
No, no. I mean, you said it right. First off, I mean, the team is built around him and the style that he provides for the offensive side of the ball. He helps out the defense. And more importantly, yeah, like you're explaining the Derrick Henry effect, it's real. I mean, think about the Titans in their game. It's either run the ball with Henry to the left, run the ball with Henry to the right, run the ball outside, either way. Oh, play action pass A.J. Brown. Run the ball, play action pass A.J. Brown. That's the only thing on their stat sheet. When they're rolling, that's all it is. Now, I know they got Julio Jones, and hopefully he can come back and help them out because they're going to need the passing offense to be hitting on all cylinders to make up for the lack of Derrick Henry. But, again, you know, that's to me a big question mark. It is. You know, again, Arthur Smith moved on. You got a new offensive coordinator in Todd Downing. I haven't necessarily looked at that offense and gone, wow, when they don't run the ball, wow, they can still beat you with the drop back pass game and carve you up. You know, so that's going to be a huge question to be answered. But, like, I mean, you laid it out there perfectly. And, you know, the effect he has is great because you have no choice but to go all in to stop him. It compromises your team. Because if you don't go all in, it'll be 2nd and 4 every play, let alone a bigger run every now and then. And what you're also scared of is, yeah, you know, 2nd and 4, he's going to bludgeon us to death with that. But also, like, we got to go all in because it could be 70-yard touchdown too. And it just leads to so many other avenues being opened up for that offense. And that's the effect he has. And that's just a shame to see him get hurt.
It really is a shame, and it just shows you how that lightning bolt can come anytime, any place, anywhere that dramatically changes the fortunes of a team. from riding as high as you can, feeling like you have a chance to be the one seed in the AFC, a real chance to be the one seed. A Sunday Night Football showdown against the Rams on the immediate horizon.
Yeah, I know.
Derrick Henry's
awesome.
Gone.
I know.
Derrick Henry's gone.
But, Mike, who else? Who else is in that category of him as far as, like, non-quarterbacks that are most important to their football team, right? I mean, you know, that was a question that kind of just came up organically on my podcast yesterday. But, like, it's hard to really nail down guys of that stature.
Who's the receiver right now that is like the clear cut, gotta have him, draws double coverage everywhere he goes, matchup nightmare that becomes a talking point? It was Tyreek Hill, but not anymore.
Yeah. Is there a guy that
defenses need to constantly fear and constantly have multiple? There really isn't
There's
one
not
that has
that guy
Randy
right
Moss
now. You're
effect.
Right. That OBJ,
and there isn't a tight end
Julio,
that has the Rob Gronkowski. Remember with Rob Gronkowski in his prime, every week it was, what are they going to do? How are they going to defend him? How are they going to stop him?
Yeah.
There isn't an offensive player like that right now that is striking that kind of fear on a consistent basis into defenses. It was Derrick Henry and only Derrick Henry. I mean, your other options from your poll yesterday were defensive players.
I know.
It just proves it.
Yeah.
There isn't a non-quarterback right now who is striking fear and forcing game planning and extra stomach acid when you get ready to play a given team.
Yeah.
It's quarterback or it's pass rusher.
Yeah.
That's it.
You're right.
Without Derrick Henry.
I'm sitting here looking at it right now just trying to, you know, brainstorm more players. And yeah, there's nothing that really jumps out to you. Maybe Ja'Marr Chase was reaching that level to a degree, but not there yet. You're right. We don't have that receiver right now that was that Randy Moss, Calvin Johnson, you know, OBJ back with the Giants where you'd go like, what? I've never seen a team even do this to a receiver. Julio Jones in his prime with the Atlanta, that same type of thing. There is not that guy right now. There's not that you just look at and go, oh, my gosh, he's completely changing the game. And that's what Derrick Henry does do. And yeah, that's why he's special. And it makes me think differently of this Titans football team going forward.
Devontae Adams is close.
Yeah.
But when the Packers are 7-0 over the last 2 years without Devontae Adams,
it's kind of hard to say
he's not replaceable.
You. Right. Right.
Right.
Yes. Devontae Adams is awesome. But what I try to tell people all the time is he's not the physical talent of a guy that teams look at it and go, oh my gosh, if we cover him man to man, he's just going to run by us for 80 yard touchdowns. No, it's kind of like, oh my gosh, man, they use him in a lot of different ways. Oh my gosh, he's a really good route runner and does everything well, but doesn't strike that fear into you. Not the fear Derrick Henry does, where you go, if we don't have nine guys within the line of scrimmage, we're in deep crap today because he's just going to tear us apart. No. So that's where he is truly another level of a running back right now, and their team's framed around it, and that's what makes it kind of a double whammy.
Underscoring the fact that it is a quarterback-driven league, when we return, some quarterback news for your information, PFT Live. Tuesday edition, back right after this.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat. Protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on Auto Trader. They're really good at numbers. Auto Trader.
For the world's greatest athletes.
This is the showdown we've been waiting for.
There is nothing like competing on the world's biggest stage.
It's a world record again!
Goal for the United States! Unbelievable!
And when that stage is Paris, anything can happen.
I have never seen anything like this!
How about that?
An Olympics unlike any other.
What a performance!
The Paris Olympics. This summer on NBC and streaming on Peacock.
Packers leading by three. Both sides out of timeouts. Snap to Murray, looks, throws right side of the end zone, intercepted, and the get the dagger from the former Arizona Cardinal, Rasul Douglas. Rasul Douglas seals it for Green Bay. And the Packers have defeated the Arizona Cardinals. The unbeatens are no longer. 24-21 Green Bay.
That was so awesome, including the moment. I never want to see that picture of Aaron Rodgers again. That is nightmare fuel.
That's so
but
crazy.
They even added that, the Lego stop motion presentation by the Packers. That was the best thing I saw all day yesterday. I would watch a football game played by Legos. I'm telling you, it was mesmerizing. And my nephew, Michael Paul, the big Cardinals fan,
yeah.
I sent it to him, and he had a very important point, and he's accurate with this. He said they got it wrong. A.J. Green turned around and looked for the ball. He didn't turn around, and he didn't.
Yes.
But Lego A.J. Green did.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Even Lego A.J. Green knows it's a fast play.
He knew to turn around, right. Seriously. There was obviously some miscommunication. That picture of Rodgers, too, is like an all-time great picture. It really is. I mean, him with the head, you know, he's got this headband on because he's got all the crazy hair. He didn't shave. The way his eyes look. Still wearing an old-school chin strap from 1989. Hasn't moved on to the one that really protects your chin. You know, it's just hilarious. It was great. It made me laugh this weekend.
How do you play that many years in the NFL without getting popped in the face one time? Because I think all it takes is one time to get you to say, I think I need a little more protection on my jaw.
You know how he does it? You know how he does it? Because he's really freaking good, and the game's like a slow motion picture, and he's just like, wait, oh, he's coming, big deal, zing, oh, zing, like, it just, that's why. It's like, why do we always look at the best player in the field and go, hey, he smiles and seems happy a lot? Yeah, because he's comfortable, and he knows he's better than everybody else. That's why, I think, Mike.
Kyler Murray also was part of that Lego stop-motion video prepared by the Packers. He is day-to-day with an ankle injury. Jay Glazer said on Sunday that Murray has a 1 to 3 week ankle injury, but they were going to see on Monday how much the swelling went down and have an assessment as to whether or not he's got a realistic shot at playing this weekend against the 49ers. Now, day-to-day means yes, but you know, you also get into the shell game, too, where you want the 49ers to not know who they're going to face, whether it's Kyler Murray or former Texas great Colt McCoy. We don't know, and we won't know. And you don't want to have to play that game. You want your starter to be 100%, but if that game falls in your lap, you may as well take it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, again, I'm just glad, like with Kyler Murray, I was a little scared it might have been his hip or something, the way he went down on that one play, or at least the replay they continued to show on Fox that night. I wasn't sure what to expect. I mean, yeah, again, we know this guy's MVP-level type of football player. Their offense is based around, you know, his abilities, of course. He's a great decision-maker. He's been throwing the ball awesome. He puts defenses in a bind because of his skill set. Yeah, spread the field. Okay, yeah, you want to worry about all our receivers. Well, I got two rockets up my butt and can run anywhere here. So he is a game-changer that way, and that's where – yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Like, I don't know. I got, like, to me, he has a little of that, I feel like that Russell Wilson power a little. Like, we're going to think it should have been a 2 week injury for the ankle, but somehow he's going to find a way to play this week and not be 100%. I don't know why, Mike, but that's just kind of the way I think of Kyler Murray. He's got, like, some Zen powers to make these go, make it go away.
Well, I think professional athletes are just,
yeah, wired that way.
Everything that goes into
it,
the way they're constructed, the way they work, the way they condition themselves, they recover from things faster than the average human that comes home from work and sits on the couch and watches TV. Like, you know, like I don't sit on a couch, but I sit on my ass all day long.
Yeah.
So I don't expect to recover from things as quickly. Speaking of Russell Wilson, he has recovered from his busted up finger, and he tweeted the photo of the pin. The pin is out of the finger, and fortunately they washed it, which is good news. No more pin, time to win. So
like
Russell
it.
Will be back after the bye week. And hey, it was great that they beat the Jaguars. If they had lost, they would have been 2-6. It would have been very hard for Russell Wilson to make a difference. Even at 3-5, it's not going to be easy, Chris.
No, it's not. I mean, they're you know, little room for error with their football team, but that was big. Yeah, it gives them a fighting chance. Got a bye week. You get Russell Wilson back. Maybe the defense can continue to play a little bit better. We have seen that over the last few weeks. And, you know, I give them a fighting chance. We know they're going to compete and play hard. You know, I'm not going to sit here if you make me bet. I would still say I don't think Seattle's going to make the playoffs this year. Come off the bye week, got what, Green Bay, then Arizona, then Washington, then San Francisco. Yeah, I mean, that's I could easily see them, you know, losing three out of four of those football games with the way they've looked over the first 8 weeks. So they're going to be one of the teams to watch for, like, to go, wait, let's put a pin, no pun intended, right next to their name for, like, team to watch that we think might have potential to make that second half run here and maybe make things interesting in the NFC. Like, the NFC 3-5, come on, you're not out of it. Of course not. Atlanta's 3-4. Your Minnesota Vikings are 3-4. None of them are good. I look at the 49ers and Seattle to be maybe those two teams that are, you know, out of the playoff picture right now that can jump back into it in the NFC. I'm not going to count
Seahawks
them out
still
yet.
Have Look, they still have Washington.
Yep.
They've got the Texans, right, which is, you know, the opponent for everyone's survivor pool pick,
yep,
in every given week. They've got the Bears and the Lions. So they can get to 7. The challenge is going to be getting to 8, 9, or 10.
Exactly.
And that's going to require success against the teams in their division, plain and simple. And it starts after the Packers game with a home game against the Cardinals. Mike McCarthy expects that Dak Prescott will be full go in practice on Thursday. There are some signs that he'll be ready for this weekend. You know, when you see the video of him doing the pregame warm-up on Sunday, it's kind of like, hey, it looks like he probably could have gone. I mean, he was working it so hard that if he was going to re-injure it, he was going to re-injure it then. But they rolled the dice and it worked. They got a win without him. And now maybe they'll have him back. And they're in a position where they can think about climbing the playoff tree above the 4 spot that we assume they'll be stuck in. But with the Buccaneers losing, and you never know when the Packers or the Rams or the Cardinals are going to lose. If the Cowboys keep winning and winning and winning, maybe they end up with a 1 seed.
They can. I had somebody on radio ask me yesterday, like, how do you view the Cowboys? And I was like, they can win the Super Bowl, the Cowboys. They're officially good enough. They're unstoppable on offense. And we know Dak Prescott's awesome, and he's going to be back. So I understand them taking it slow with him. It's a delicate injury. You know, I mean, you see him warming up. I know what you're saying, Mike. You're right. You see him do all that stuff. You think he can go. But again, we know the game becomes more intense, aggressive, people pulling at you. You know, it's a different element there. I think they did the right thing by being careful there. But damn, the Cowboys are good. The defense continues to go in the right direction. DeMarcus Lawrence is going to be back soon. Like, watch out. They're definitely in the conversation for best team in football. No doubt about it.
Yeah, I mean, we spent some time yesterday talking about how bad the Vikings offense was. The defense that you're playing has a lot to do,
yeah,
with how effective your offense is or is not. And by the way, the Jameis Winston injury confirmed, ACL. Sean Payton made it clear they're not bringing anyone else in. He was tactful about it, but we reported yesterday morning, no Cam Newton. It's going to be Taysom Hill or Trevor Siemian. Who would you start between the two? Would you leave Taysom Hill in the jack-of-all-trades role and let Siemian be the guy, or let Hill be the guy?
Ooh, that's a good question. I'd probably go with Taysom Hill still there. I would. You know, again, I like Trevor Siemian. I just, you know, I don't know if I'd want to count on him week after week after week to run the offense and make plays for my football team. I guess I feel like I trust Taysom Hill a little bit more in that role. Within that offense, knowing that offense better, yeah, you're going to lose his jack-of-all-trades type of element, but I think I would still err on the Taysom Hill at quarterback.
I'd put him in at quarterback. He's your better option, because in the jack-of-all-trades role with Jameis Winston starting, Hill wasn't doing very much.
That's right.
I'd make him the starter,
yep,
without question, yep, if Winston, as it appears.
Passing game's not great. He adds a little element of the quarterback run, helps them out that way. That's kind of how I see it, and I think your point exactly right. He wasn't that important as the jack-of-all-trades. You're exactly right.
Quick break and some true or false when this Tuesday edition of PFT Live continues.
Woo! So hot. I predict by November, because of the physical breakdown of a guy who's going to be halfway between 39 and 40, more than halfway between 39 and 40, they're going to regret it. He's going to regret it, and they're going to regret it. That's my prediction. If I'm wrong, great. But I can't stifle that belief
All right. Hey.
All last year, down the stretch.
Chris
Holt takes exposed.
Yep. Kristen and Pete, put it in the vault. Put it in the vault. Bring it back in November.
4 a.m. Eastern, June 2, 2021. I'm fine with it.
Woo. It's all hot.
That's fine.
Yeah, I like it.
I can live with it.
You got what you should
because
be
you know what?
It.
They already did regret it. They regretted it by the end of September. It's just something happened in October.
They're fighting through it. I mean, they're fighting through it. It doesn't mean that you. I mean, I don't.
They
think
got
you're
no
wrong
alternative.
Here. Right, right.
They got no alternative.
All right. So by the end of the season, the Steelers and Ben Roethlisberger will regret running it back. True or false, Mike Florio?
True. Yeah. I'm not gonna change my position from June. True. Although they have won three in a row.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
they're finding a way to work within their limitations.
That's
they're
right.
coloring within the lines. And the offensive line is getting better.
Right.
You know, you don't notice when the offensive line is getting the job done. You only notice when it sucks.
Yeah, that's true.
That's why does anybody want to play offensive line? Because you only get mentioned when you're not doing your job. Very rarely is there a guy who is so good that he just throws bodies around and we notice him. If you're doing your job the way it's drawn up, nobody notices you. So the offensive line has indeed gotten better. So the Steelers have gotten better, and I'm not writing them off because of Mike Tomlin, plain and simple. Hey, I picked the Steelers to win on Sunday. Why? Because I saw Mike Tomlin last week, and the attitude that he brought to the answer about the USC job told me he's going to have these guys ready to win in Cleveland on Sunday. And even then, it wasn't an easy thing, but they're going to need that every week if they want to have a chance. All right.
No doubt.
Chris, true or false, Mike White of the New York Jets has a realistic chance to be the team's long-term quarterback.
Okay. I got lots to say. I mean, false, first off, false. This is like a little pet peeve of mine right here, this conversation. And you're going to know because I've brought it up before, but like it became a thing up here in New York, all right? Like where, man, maybe Mike White's the future. Maybe we should. Now, this was just 4 days before a bunch of people in New York going, I mean, how stupid are the freaking Jets? I mean, what the hell? This is the backup they got? I mean, what the freak are the Jets thinking about?
I mean, hey,
what the hell is going on here? Mike White's our backup? We had a rookie quarterback, and we got Mike White as our backup? How stupid are we as an organization? Now they want him to be the franchise quarterback for the future. Like, come on. That's what's wrong with, like, the world right now. What the hell? It's gone to that? And let me just say this. First off, he had two horrible interceptions in the football game that the Bengals, you know, blew opportunities to kind of put their foot on the throat of the Jets. Mike White did a lot of good things. There's no doubt about it. But, like, this is my other pet peeve, you know, Mike, and I'm sorry. I got to just go off about this. What happened in that game is the perfect example that you and I have talked about many times. Well, the backups then, he's not very good. We better find a lot of different ways and cool things to do things on offense to help him out. And I want to go, where in the hell was some of this stuff with Zach Wilson? Oh, because Zach Wilson has a laser for an arm. It's just like, hey, this guy run 20 yards out. This guy run a 60-yard post. Zach, throw a laser in there, okay? That's good. I'm done for the day. That's the offense. Way to go. Mike White gets in there, and they do all these different type of things. And look at the game, everybody. It was Charlie checkdown extraordinaire. He threw the ball shorter than any quarterback of last week's quarterbacks the whole week, everybody included. And it was one of the shortest passing performances of the year in the NFL. There was only three other quarterbacks all year in any game that threw the ball shorter than Mike White. So, like, no. And that's where I want to go. Are we crazy? Get out of here. Like, that was a bad game plan by the Bengals. Mike White did some good things for sure. And it's my pet peeve of, like, let's help the starter out like we help out the underwhelming backup out sometimes. And we wouldn't have these type of conversations. Sorry.
True or false became airing of grievances.
It did. I'm glad I got that off my chest.
Do you feel better?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yes. So I just, in New York, it became a thing. You turn on talk radio yesterday in New York.
Well, it's a thing because the coach didn't say
that was a bad job by him.
Of course, Mike White's not going to be the starting quarterback.
Right. Yeah. You're right.
He slammed that door.
Yes.
He gave life to it.
He did. 100%.
Maybe they're trying to do a little red hot poker. Maybe you're right, Zach Wilson.
Maybe you're right. Maybe they're putting the poker to his butt a little bit. You're right. I did think of that. Maybe they said that to go, maybe this will get this guy, you know, just a little bit more of an edge. No doubt about that. But I, you know, again, I just want to let's pump the brakes a little bit on that one first.
All right. Speaking of breaks, we're going to take a break. Trade deadline today, a draft of the teams who need to make a move the most when PFT Live continues right after this. I had a dream I was getting a tattoo the other night that I had I was getting the Vikings head logo.
Ow! No, that freaking hurts! There's blood on me!
Here, let's wipe it off.
No!
Because
that's dirty. You're dirty.
Either that or the PFT logo. Maybe that's what I should do. 20th anniversary is Monday. Maybe I should go get a PFT tattoo.
Ow!
Oh, God. That's disturbing. Take that down.
Oh, my God.
Remove that. Ugh. Expunge that. Delete that. All right. Chris, by the way, thanks for the video yesterday. It was very nice of you.
No problem. And very nice.
We had a fun day.
Good.
Now we embark on the next 20 years.
Yep. Awesome for you, man. Congrats again. Seriously. I mean, you've built a great thing. You do a great job of reporting on all things in the NFL, and you're the snarkiest of the snarkiest. So I love you.
Waiting for the copy paste remark. So thank you for that. Draft for today: the teams who most need to make a move. Go.
All right. I'm gonna go. Right, I'm going to the Buffalo Bills to lead off this draft. I think the Buffalo Bills need to make a move. I do. I've been saying this for the last few weeks. Again, you saw again Sunday. To me, Buffalo's people talk about their talent in too glowing of a fashion in Buffalo. And I know Cole Beasley had a pretty good game the other day. I get that. Yeah. But, you know, again, it's good running back play. It's not special. I know they got Stephon Diggs. Yeah, he's special. And Josh Allen. But, like, Cole Beasley's just good. He just fits a role in the offense. Emmanuel Sanders, same thing. It's not like they're making you have to think or change the way you play as compared to other teams with other, you know, second and third and fourth option weapons on their offense. So, for me, Buffalo's in the Super Bowl window. We know their defense is much improved. Their offense has kind of been holding them back a little this year. It's a little too reliant on Josh Allen just to make magic. I'm going to throw them out there. Evan Ingram, tight end for the Giants. OBJ. I don't know. Somebody like that. Sorry.
All right. We're almost out of time for the show.
The hell with the show.
Let's go. Let's go. Texans, I'm going to say the Texans, they just got to move on from Deshaun Watson. Okay. They've got to get this cloud out from over the franchise. The owner wants to do it. The problem is too many moving parts, two dysfunctional franchises. Yep. I doubt they're going to be able to get it. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is dysfunctional, but they need to do it.
Yep. All right, Packers, I'm going to go there. Same reasons you just heard with the Bill. I mean, they need, to me, a difference maker on either side of the ball. It doesn't matter. You know, again, they execute. That's great. But against the best teams in football, you can't, like, hope Rondale Moore drops a punt or, like, Kyler Murray misses a screen pass. That, to me, is just hopeful. They need they difference maker either side. Another top-tier corner, another top-tier receiver.
Back to where we started, the Chiefs. Whether it's OBJ, which isn't happening, the Browns are not going to hand the Chiefs to OBJ unless it's some sort of a Trojan horse. Whether it's Brandon Cooks from the Texans, whether it's Deshaun Jackson.
Right.
They need somebody. Yes. They need somebody to open up that offense. Or, you know, I know that Clyde Edwards-Helaire is coming back from IR. I mean, they need a Brian Westbrook. They thought that was going to be Edwards-Helaire, and it's not.
No.
And, boy, they would be a hell of a lot better if they had a dual-threat running back who could consistently move the chains and score some points. So let's take a break. Round three. When this Tuesday edition of PFT Live concludes right after this. All right, here we go. Round three. Teams that need to make a trade today. Chris, who do you have?
Well, I guess I'm going to look at the next team on my list. I'm torn here a little bit between two teams. I'm going to go with New Orleans. New Orleans is another team I look at and just go, they need another receiver. They're good. We see that. They can play with the big boys in the NFC. Deshaun Jackson, like you mentioned, Brandon Cooks. Somebody like that, though, because they don't have anybody dependable at receiver right now, and they're a good football team.
You know, I'm going to say just generally, so they can declare to the world that they're here and they're ready to contend. I'd like to see the Bengals make a trade.
Mm.
And I don't have a specific position in mind. I just like to see them make a move that would tell us they're trying to win the Super Bowl. I went in a long rant yesterday about how some owners really don't want to win the Super Bowl. They just act like they want to win the Super Bowl because they have to, because it's good for business. Mike Brown is the king of that club. Mike Brown is the well-established, I don't care if we win or not, I just want my money, frankly. One way to dispel that, make a move.
Yeah.
Go all in.
What about make Titans running back? That's another one that came to my mind. Titans running back, right? Titans running back?
Right.
Yeah.
We're out of time. That's
right. See ya.
See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
I couldn't hear you. Pete was counting me out.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. Like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.